The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times and the Washington Post. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Well, as we travel through the Christmas season, many things likely come to mind. I've often heard people say how they enjoy Christmas memories. Well, this is also true for dedicated travel writers, two of whom we will feature today on Armchair Traveler. First up is Mary Winston Nicklund, and her article is from the December 17, 2021 issue of the Washington Post. The headline reads, "A Beacon of Christmas Tradition in Strasbourg, France." As a photo caption explains, dating to 1570, Strasbourg is one of Europe's oldest Christmas markets. The extravaganza includes about 300 chalets spilling across squares and streets in the UNESCO-listed city center. Now, let's read Mary's story and learn more. We left Paris in darkness as our high-speed train raced toward the German border at nearly 200 miles per hour. The rain furiously lashed the windows. Instead of a blanket of snow, the fields of Alsace reflected a soggy sheen as the winter day broke cold and late. There are Christmas markets, and then there's Strasbourg. I had booked a last-minute trip to this city in eastern France for my Christmas-obsessed 11-year-old daughter, Jane. Dating to 1570, Strasbourg is one of Europe's oldest Christmas markets, and it's in a class of its own. The entire city is transformed with multiple themed markets, concerts, exhibitions, and a festive vibe that attracts about 2 million visitors per year. Because of the pandemic closure in 2020, there was enormous pent-up demand for this year's event. Again, this was written in 2021. Needless to say, when I searched online for hotels, there was no room at the inn, so we opted to do a day trip, which the TGV makes possible in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Our Yuletide enthusiasm is not universally shared. For my husband, a Christmas market is a commercial fair with faux alpine chalets hawking mass-produced products. True, the proliferation of such markets has sometimes resulted in a cliché-ridden affairs with bad music and cheap imports, but he hasn't seen Strasbourg. Steeped in tradition, the city strives to nurture authenticity and showcase artisans. Its dedicated website offers an illustrated map with descriptions of the merchants. To make the most of our time, I mapped out our route in advance. I hadn't anticipated popping open umbrellas when we alighted from the train, but our excitement couldn't be dampened. History, lore, and tradition. It actually began in the Middle Ages as a market dedicated to St. Nicholas, whose feast day is celebrated on December 6th. An independent republic within the Holy Roman Empire, Strasbourg converted to Protestantism during the Reformation, so the market was rebranded to the Christkindlesmarkt, or Baby Jesus Market, in Alsatian, to disassociate from Catholic customs and the cult of the saints. Now, Louis XIV annexed Strasbourg to France in the 17th century, and the Alsace region became the object of a tug of war between France and Germany until the end of the Second World War. Today, home to the European Parliament, the city is a symbol of continental unity. In 1992, the mayor's office launched Strasbourg Capital of Christmas, and the market morphed into its current incarnation, a citywide extravaganza with about 300 chalets spilling across squares and streets in the UNESCO-listed city center. A major boost for tourism, the event's runaway success has led to concerted efforts to champion authenticity. with vendors carefully vetted and some products banned. In 2010, the city said au revoir to the churro, the sugar-dusted fried dough with Spanish origins, along with the panini, the hot sandwich that's most often equated with Italy, in favor of local culinary delicacies such as culotte, a raisin-studded sweet brioche, and pretzels, that's with a B, not P, which are pretzels, and then we have chucrut, also known as sauerkraut. Now, customs and rituals are abundant. During Advent, families decorate trees and set up elaborate nativity scenes, populated with an entire village of tiny figurines. And then there's the bretel. In Alsace, there's not just one Christmas cookie, but dozens of varieties, each with its own name, the recipes passed down from generations. It's just a sampling here, but here we go. It's the Atwille Canal, a star-shaped treat fragrant with cinnamon. Spritz Bredel is made from ground almonds, and Anise Bredel is flavored with aniseed. Now, you can pick and choose from the cornucopia on display at the Bas-Rhin Bakers Federation. These industrious boulangers are set up in a tent on the Place or Place du Marché aux Poissons and offer workshops and recipe booklets. Now, beyond baking, the city's decor also requires months of work. The Place Kleber shows off Europe's tallest decorated Christmas tree at more than 100 feet. The National Forestry Office scouts the neighboring forest of Alsace, Moselle, and Vosges to find the perfect tree, which is then hoisted on a truck, erected in the square, filled out with additional greenery, and decorated with more than 4 miles of string lights and hundreds of ornaments over a 3-week period. The city where Johannes Gutenberg invented the movable type printing press and also promotes humanist values and a sense of community at the Christmas market. In the Village du Parcier, adjacent to the giant tree, some 90 nonprofits and organizations explain their missions and accept donations. Here you can warm up with soup étoile, starred soup concocted in the recipes of 4 Michelin-starred chefs, which raises money for Humanis, a nonprofit collective behind solidarity projects. On to artisan ambassadors. Now, there's a joy in the anticipation of Christmas. For Jane, it started in September when she began a stealthy project with her sister. I assumed it had to do with the imagined toy extravaganza on December 25th. When I was finally let in on the secret, I was taken by surprise. Jane had been plotting a list of the perfect gifts for each member of her extended family using her allowance and keeping elaborate charts. Noel means giving, I was reminded by my 11-year-old. In Strasbourg, the gifts have more cachet because of the artisans who make them. Among the treasures were natural soaps, created in Alsace by Argasol, handmade wooden toys in Brindois, and pain d'espice, or gingerbread, by Mireille Oyster. Now, the self-proclaimed ambassadrice of the Honey Rich Cake has 2 gourmet boutiques in Strasbourg and 2 stands on the Christmas market. She follows in the footsteps of her grandparents, who sold pain de pice in the market starting in 1933. Reinventing classic recipes, Oster incorporates unusual ingredients from her travels, such as goji berries, and then we have ginger and dates and orange blossoms. It just keeps going, Jane said incredulously as we roamed Strasbourg. At this point, we had scoped several stands on the hunt for Poterie Fortune Schmitter, and it was Jane who finally spied the distinctive blue colors across the Place des Cathédrales. Now, this seventh-generation business is one of the last remaining potters to craft the renowned salt-glazed stoneware from Bitschdorf, a village at the edge of the forest of Agnau. Now, what's unique is the ancestral technique. When cooking the clay at temperatures of 1,250 degrees Celsius, and that's about 2,282 degrees Fahrenheit, salt is thrown into the kiln, forming a fine natural glaze. Their products run the gamut from pitchers and conserve pots to beer mugs and Christmas ornaments. The Strasbourg Christmas Market is a real showcase for us, Lou Smitter said of the event, where they've had a stand for 23 years. We can speak of our savoir-faire to people from all over the world. Well, there's also a line at the Chalet for the Centre International des Arts Vieilles. Now, that's the CIAV, Glass Centre. Famed around the world, these in-demand Christmas balls have been incorporated into the 2021 Advent calendar created by Paris pastry chef Pierre Hermé. After all, the very Christmas ball itself, that ubiquitous ornament found on trees all over the planet, traces its origins to a glassworks in the Vogue. Now, the story goes that there was a drought in 1858, so there was a lack of apples and pine cones and other things used for decorating Christmas trees. Now, this is explained by Esther Abel, who adds, Archives and Heritage Manager at the CIAV, and she says, a glassmaker in Gotzenbruck made small balls and gave them to the village, and then the idea just caught on. Well, today the tradition is kept alive at CIAV, where the last remaining Gotzenbruck glassmakers were asked to share their expertise in 1998. The vast Minzenthal Glassworks was first established in 1704 and produced millions of cheap glassware before closing in 1969, leaving behind an industrial wasteland. The place was revived in 1992 as CIAV, its mission, to preserve traditional glass blowing techniques. For the past two decades, CIAV has offered a limited edition contemporary Christmas ball created by an artist alongside its classic collections. It's a secret process, and the unveiling announcement is a real event, Abel said. Only 25,000 are produced a year. The human artistry is respected. This isn't a Christmas ball factory, so Jane and I were happy to get our hands on two, that's the permitted limit, of the Piaf, that's the sparrow, designed by artist Hermione Begon in a range of colors. Now, under a galaxy of stars, we took refuge from the rain at the newly opened Hotel Lenore. Now, Jane loves hotels as much as I do. For her, it's all about breakfast. For me, it's the stories. And this one was particularly alluring, the result of a 4-year restoration of a historical landmark that was once the home of an Alsace governor and marshal of France. Behind the neoclassical facade, the ambiance is trendy and chic, particularly in the restaurant. It's overseen by Nicholas Stamm and Sergei Skoll, who hold two Michelin stars at La Fauchée des Deux in Aubernay. Now, watching the rain out the window, we took our time over lunch. Crispy chicken with sweet potato puree and a trout tartare in a emulsion of Biblesleis, the Alsatian fromage blanc. Now, another rain shower saw us sheltering inside the Strasbourg Cathedral, a soaring red-hued masterpiece in Gothic and Romanesque styles. When the steeple was completed in 1439, the cathedral reigned as the world's tallest building until 1874. Inside, the astronomical clock gets all the visitor love, but what stole my attention was the tapestry exhibition. Suspended on each side of the nave during Advent, a collection of 14 tapestries from the 17th century depict the life of the Virgin Mary. And the nativity scene, running 55 feet, even includes an enormous elephant and camels accompanying the three magi. Night fell early, as if on cue, at 4:30 p.m. Suddenly, the lights blazed and Strasbourg was illuminated so brightly it seemed like daytime. The cathedral bells began to toll simultaneously, resounding across the ville, and we had to stop in our tracks. On the Carré d'Or, a district in the historic city center, we spied dozens of iPhones poised in the air to capture the scene. The shopkeepers famously go all out with their decor, the half-timbered houses festooned with stuffed animals, evergreens, and frosted branches beneath strands of lights that run the length of the street. Strasbourg is said to be the most illuminated city in Europe during the period of Advent, and it was by the river that we were bowled over. Luminous stars strung in the trees as far as we could see, and imagine the reflection off the river. Well, the rain resumed, and we ducked under a cheery tent in the Rohan Palace Terrace, where culinary vendors congregate. This particular spot, the Tribu de Gourmet, advocates for the sometimes misunderstood wines of Alsace, promoting the city's important historical links with the vineyards. Hot mulled wine is prolific at the Christmas market. To curb trash, you pay a deposit on a goblet that is returned when you hand over the empty cup to any merchant. But here, there's pride in the ancestral recipe made with dry wine instead of red. Dry white wine instead of red, I should say. Backs aching from our hauling our purchases, we removed our packs and wrapped our numb fingers around steaming cups. Jane's hot apple juice as fragrant as the orange and cinnamon-scented wine. Star lanterns glowed overhead. Spice smells wafted from the cauldrons, and laughter trickled over the crowd. Side by side, we watched the canal boats ply the waters in the pouring rain. "Let's stay the night next year," Jane said. And by the way, Nicklin is a writer, and she is based in Paris. She has a website, MaryWinstonNicklin.com, and you can also find her on Twitter if you want to Google that. Mary Winston Nicklin, NICKLIN.com, if you'd like to hear more of her interesting travel sagas. Well, now, our next writer is frugal traveler columnist Elaine Glusak. We've had many of her articles in previous episodes of Armchair Traveler. Now, her story, A Magical Tour of Christmas Markets Along the Rhine, appeared in the December 18, 2023 issue of the New York Times. Her story also begins in Strasbourg, France, but it goes beyond trees filled with glowing star-shaped lights that form a canopy over stalls and visitors in a holiday market at night, as one photo caption reads, and as we just heard described by our previous writer. Now, as Elaine explains, it's that time of year when holiday markets pop up across Europe. Now, relying on trains and a Christmas bus, we're going to explore 8 towns and cities in France and Switzerland, sipping mulled wine along the way. So, get your toast ready as we continue on in a holiday flavor. In Strasbourg, France, throughout the holiday season, Santa-capped teddy bears festoon a restaurant's facade. Stuffed polar bears adorn another. In a Yuletide arms race, buildings are affixed with giant gift-wrap packages. Glittering white deer and oversized gingerbread men. Turning the central medieval quarter into a Christmas maze, curtains of lights glow above the cobblestone lanes, lined with food and gift stalls. And in the central Place Kleber, lights on a nearly 100-foot Christmas tree flash and glow, synchronized to carols. Now, across Europe, Christmas markets pop up like fairy-dusted street fairs, with temporary chalet-style shops, selling everything from handmade ceramics to warmed wine and abundant food. Visitors shuffle along with merry warrens, holding their cell phones camera high. Now, the closer you get to Christmas, Strasbourg really becomes like Times Square, said Jonathan Frank, a former Broadway videographer who retired to the city 2 years ago. A popular way to visit the markets in France, Germany, Switzerland, and beyond is to take river cruises on the Rhine, Danube, or the Seine, or Maine, and spending nearly $2,000 to $4,000 a week. Could I replicate such a holiday pilgrimage for less by using trains to get around? Well, along the Rhine, through the Alsace region of the northeastern France, trains run continuously between Strasbourg in the north and Basel, Switzerland in the south, allowing access to market cities and towns en route. To test my budget and my tolerance for seasonal cheer, I spent about $300 on trains, splitting 6 nights between lively Strasbourg and popular Colmar de Airbnb at Airbnbs that averaged $180 per night. Now, in exchange for convenience, I hope to gain priceless control over when and where to wander. Now, by the way, I need to inject that these prices she's quoting were a year ago, so obviously things have changed since then. Now we talk about the capital of Christmas. If you stay a week in Strasbourg, you will gain 3 kilos, said Pierre Feistauer, a tour guide who runs Discover Strasbourg, during a 2-hour market tour that I booked through Airbnb Experiences. This was about $26 at the time. The tour on my first evening offered a practical lay of the land in the old town on an island in the River Ill, a Rhine tributary where Mr. Fostauer's count more than a dozen markets cluster in plazas and pedestrian lanes, drawing 2 to 3 million visitors throughout the season. He also demystified the food led by Tarte Flambée, a thin Alsatian pizza topped with cream sauce, chunks of smoky slab bacon and onions, and followed by sausages, spätzle, potato pancakes, and soft pretzels, served salted, sugared on cheese covered. Most dishes cost between 2 and 12 euros, or roughly $2 to $3. Now, dessert stalls sold gingerbread loaves, nougat too pretty to eat, and cookies by the kilo. White or red vin chaud, or mulled wine, is about 3 to 6 euros, and that accompanied all these delightful foods and snacks. The white version with citrus and cinnamon notes was welcome when hot, but cooled to cloyingly sweet. Lodged in a half-timbered house dating to about 1600, the Alsatian Museum, and that's 7.5 euros provided to enter, provided more context on the seasonal festivities founded in 1570. After the city embraced the Protestant Reformation, toys, gingerbread, and roasted chestnuts remain from the original fairs rooted in Germanic traditions, but the museum attributed the modern image of Père Noël, or Santa Claus, to Coca-Cola ads done in 1931. Today, or by day rather, I should say, before darkness cued the elaborate light displays, which included horn-blowing angels framing the view of the cathedral spire, it was easier to shop. Food, including a stolen bacon demonstration and 12-euro foie gras sandwiches, distinguished the Riverside Market Quai des Delices. Now, we have stalls, then, mixing traditional casserole pottery, porcelain votives, snow globes, and cookie molds bunched around Notre Dame Cathedral. Original art and the upcycled gifts, such as aprons made from used denim, set the eco-conscious marsh off apart. Now, I love Christmas, and it's interesting to see how people do things differently, beamed Denise Jimenez, who was visiting from Los Angeles. It's just super, super beautiful, she said. Swiss Christmas. An 80-minute train ride from Strasbourg, Basel, is introduced to me on the fondue dog, a half baguette drilled with a well in the center, filled with molten cheese and a frankfurter, 10 Swiss francs, or about $11.50 U.S. Now, Swiss innovation, including the Tabarone stuffed donuts, met classics like raclette at Basel's pair of markets in the central Barfußplatz and the Münsterplatz squares. Now, in Münsterplatz, I lunched on fondue at 26.50 francs at the stylish pop-up restaurant Wacker Fondustubili, with sheepskin-covered stools and chandeliers made of deer antlers. A terminus for many Rhine river cruises, Basel gets its share of holiday tourists, but its markets felt less commercial, including a Christmas tree-filled fairy tale forest with crafts like gingerbread decorating. That costs 7 francs. And then there's the children's train, which they can ride for 3 francs. Now, stalls offered a mix of costume jewelry, beeswax candles, wood carvings, tabletop Christmas villages, and paper lanterns. At the Glashütten Rhein, I watched a glassblower make clear bulbs with opaque polka dots. These were 5 francs each. To reach Avantgasse, a street festival of stands from nearly 30 restaurants, I crossed the swift Rhine on an old-fashioned skiff tethered to a river-spanning cable and propelled by the current, and the cost was 2 francs. Throughout town, a series of 18 free magical courtyards trimmed for the season guided me to the hidden respites. One of these was in a courtyard beside the Johann Wanner Christmas House, said to be the largest purveyor of hand-blown and hand-painted decorations. I had long felt that trimming a tree was a duty, but after surveying the shop's extraordinary range of ornaments in the shapes of birds, ice cream sundaes, musical instruments, and my favorites, mushrooms, I realized it could be a joyful craft. Alsatian fairy tale. Because there are so many hours, or only so many hours, you can devote to eating carbs, sipping warm wine, and browsing booths, I began to appreciate market towns for their unrelated diversions. Few were as rich as Colmar. About 45 miles south of Strasbourg, Colmar is a popular day trip destination, with six official markets squeezed into a well-preserved city center you could walk across in less than 15 minutes. But leave a trail of pretzel crumbs in the labyrinth. I stayed there three nights and failed to find my favorite craft beer stand twice. Well, easy to locate beside a giant Ferris wheel, Colmar's gourmet market assembled nine food stalls bracketing high-top tables under a spacious tent. It was a rare place to have a deluxe meal, albeit standing up, with choices like oysters, six for 14 euros, charcuterie, 10 euros, risotto with truffles, 12.50 euros, and boucher à la reine, and that's 14 euros. That's a puffed pastry filled with creamy chicken and veal. Between forays to chalets selling three-dimensional wooden puzzles, handmade animal puppets, pinecone wreaths, cured sausages, and the region's renowned Munster cheese, I took time outs at Colmar's many museums, including the Bertoldi Museum for 5 euros, and this is devoted to native son Friedrich Auguste Bertoldi, the sculptor of the Statue of Liberty. One rainy afternoon, waiting for the magic tour when the lights would transform the city from dreary to Disney, I ducked into the Dominican Library, which is free. Its artifacts, which explore printing in the Rhine region, include a 15th-century encyclopedia elaborately illustrated with woodcuts, 16th-century maps and books of Gregorian chant in a separate vaulted room with a soundtrack of the music. The tour ended in a cloister dating to 1300, only steps from the crowds but far from the frenzy. The villages of Alsace. Over a few weekends in the heart of the market season, the Navidad de Noël, or Christmas buses, 15 euros, ply a course from Colmar to a series of villages on the Alsace wine route. Now, among the vineyards surrounding the medieval, and this is Riquier, tour buses created canyons of the main roads. Dropped beside the town walls, I fortified myself with poulet champignard, 8 euros, a hearty dish of sausage, onions, potatoes, and bacon, and then joined the masses moving in wonder along the cobblestone lanes to a 13th-century defensive tower trimmed in stuffed hearts. Now, at the next stop, and this was Käseberg, I met Lisa Muller, a ceramic artist based in Strasbourg, who sold delicate glazed bowls, dishes, and cups in earthly glazes. Local trains also reached some of the more remote Christmas circuit towns. When my train to Obernai was canceled at the intermediate station in Seelestadt, I discovered its festival over the 50-minute delay, time to have a €1.50 pretzel, and learned the oldest written record of the Christmas tree was in Seelestadt in 1521. Between the delay and the delight of learning such holiday trivia, I reached peak slow-walking, wine-sipping spirit in tiny tranquil Obernai, purveyor of the trip's best vin chaud, a fragrant white laced with spices and served beside a landmark bell tower. Then we have a modern lake. Too much of picture-perfect Alsace is like Vinschad gone cold. For a refreshing dose of modernity, I headed roughly 25 miles south of Colmar to Mulhouse, or Molus, I should say. Once an independent country that prospered in textile printing in the 16th century. In homage to its past, the town selects a new pattern each year at its Christmas print, found in its markets as tablecloths and stretched onto lanterns. I gleaned the city's fascinating history, which involves seeing sections of the former republic's walls and early fabric workshops, from Remy Specker, a native of Molus, who works in the chemical industry and volunteers his time as a Molus greeter, guiding free tours. So lots of fun during the holidays in Europe. And there you go, my friends. That concludes today's journey on Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed it, and also that you will have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And hope, too, that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you may direct them to 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.